Blog Talk Radio. Contact the show by dialing
909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, the Black Panther. Does the Black Panther movie represent positive Hollywood role models for impressionable black people? Did the movie inspire black people to do better, to unify, to be black and proud, or proud to be black? It was written that the movie has been described as a defining moment for black America. The Black Panther. The Black Panther is Marvel Comics, or Black Panther, was originally conceived in 1966 by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby, two Jewish New Yorkers who bid as a bid to offer black readers a character to identify with. How nice. So the hero's real name is T'Challa. He's heir apparent to the throne of Wakanda, a fictional African nation. A tiny country has for centuries been in nearly sole possession of vibranium, an alien element acquired from a fallen meteor. Now, Captain America, if you guys have followed Marvel, that shield that he carries is made out of vibranium. So, before we get into the movie further into, we're going to talk about how film impacts on the mind of the viewer from Black Voices and the Huff Post. This is from 2012. Watching TV can lower children's self-esteem, study finds. A study conducted in Indiana by Indiana University found that TV viewing can alter children's self-esteem. White girls and black boys and girls tend to feel worse about themselves after viewing various forms of electronic media. However, white boys are in luck. TV viewing actually increases their self-confidence. The study surveyed 400 black and white pre-adolescents. They went on to say that watching TV and self-esteem rather than impact on certain types of programming, they found watching more TV negatively affected self-esteem of all children except white males. Regardless of what show you're watching, if you're a white male, things in life are pretty good for you. You tend to be in positions of power. You have prestigious occupations, high education, glamorous houses, a beautiful wife, with very little portrayals of how hard you work to get there. Other groups of children are subject to endless stereotypes. Female children are hard-pressed to find a diversity of roles for women on television. Black boys are no better off. Their TV brothers are often portrayed as criminals or lacking intelligence. Black children watch, the study said, black children watch 10 more hours of TV per week than their white counterparts. And said that parents can help counter these negative effects by choosing programs, you know, watching what your child watches on television that reflects positive values and refrains from promoting stereotypes. This is from Sierra Bellucci, TV and DVD editor at Common Sense Media. The images that our kids see through the media and the news images they see in video games informs their sense of what's normal. So I guess we have a case of life imitating art. The Opportunity Agenda Study, funded by the Open Society Foundation's Campaign for Black Male Achievement, said overwhelming evidence exists for exaggerated association of African-American men to drug-related crime, unemployment, and poverty. The idle black male on the street corner is not the true face of poverty in America, but is the dominant one in the world as depicted by the media, according to the study's executive summary. Too many stories associate black men with intractable problems, like black man is you just juked up. The common role models depicted by the media, such as rap or hip-hop stars, basketball players, imply limited life choices. When is the last time you've seen a black college professor, doctor, lawyer, or scientist selling a product? More important dynamics is the effect black lives, the effect of black lives on black lives, such as a history of economic disadvantage and a prevailing anti-black bias in society. Don't often make it to the press or the screens. What we are also seeing play out among both white and black people is a hyped view of black boys and men being coupled with criminality and violence, a lack of empathy for black men and boys in trouble, less attention being paid to the bigger picture of social and economic disparity, and increased public support of more rigorous approaches to social ills, such as police aggression and longer jail sentences. Now, you know about the targeting on black males. They say media images and words are known, according to the Opportunity Agenda Study, to have the greatest impact on perceptions of people with less real-world experience. I mean, people that don't know black folks, they taking this in to be, hey, that's the way they are. That's your representative. So the most negative impact is upon black individuals themselves. Derogatory portrayals can demoralize and reduce self-esteem. In worst-case scenarios, black boys and men actually internalize biases and stereotypes, and through their behavior, reinforce and even perpetuate the misrepresentations. They become victims of perception. BlackAmericanWeb.com said, a new, precise, and exhaustive year-long study finds that watching television regularly distorts and ultimately destroys the self-esteem of young black males who often find themselves comparing one another to the characters they view on air, leaving them feeling trapped and as if they are very few positive life paths they can aspire to. Now, just imagine if all the movies they got about brothers is they, you know, they gangbangers, they drug dealers, you know, they, you know, have all these problems, you know, they can't function, you know, so they, you know, that's what they're talking about here. So provocative thought wants to say maybe that is one reason why black folks anticipated the Black Panther film. The film did magnify black power, male and female black power and success. Maybe folks wanted to see a film about a black superhero, this black superhero or this superhero who is black, who look like them. Why Black Panther is a defining moment for black America. This is by Ryan. This says Ryan Coogler's film is a vivid reimagination of something black Americans have cherished for centuries. Africa as a dream of our wholeness, greatness, and self-realization. That said, because that says there's a big hole in the lives of African Americans. This is by Carvel Walla. I don't even know how to say his name. Walla Seafed. Wallace. Excuse me. I got that bending in with February the 12th. By Carvel Wallace. I do know how to say his name. So, as I said, Marvel Comics strip is about a hidden African nation. You know, for centuries they got this metal. They had the technology there is way advanced than any technology on Earth due to this metal and I guess technology that they've been able to develop and Wakanda. So I can't imagine the metal itself causing that. They must have had some extraterrestrial help. That's not in the movie. I'm just throwing that in there. Anyway, and I'm sure they're very intelligent people there because of the technology that they showed. They said that the trailer teaser, not even the full trailer, racked up 89 views. Excuse me, in 24 hours, 89 million views. And that's how much this movie was anticipated. The movie's first 24 hours of advanced ticket sales exceeded those of any other movie from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. That's a lot. That's saying a lot. So the black internet was mildly exploding. Twitter reported that Black Panther was one of the most tweeted about films of 2017, despite not even opening that year. It came out in 18. There were plans for viewing parties, fundraisers to arrange a private screening for the Boys and Girls Club of Harlem. Hashtags like hashtag Black Panther, so lit, and hashtag welcome to Wakanda. So folks were very, very, very into the fact that someone like them in a position of power and intelligence was being placed on the screen. It's good. Black Panther not pushing dope. You know, he's not oppressing people or anything like that. So when the date of the premiere was announced, people began posting pictures of what might be called African-American Americana, a version of an older generation's pride touchstones, kente cloths, do-rags, candy-colored, non-button suits, King Jaffe, Jafar from Coming to America with his lion-hide sash, along with captions like, this is how I'm going to show up at the Black Panther premiere. So it was the talk of the town before it even came out. Not that we've had other black superheroes. We had Blank Man, Damon Wayans, Robert Townsend's Meteor Man. We had Blade, that, well, you know, he's a superhero. But the Black Panther, by contrast, it speaks very specifically and purposefully in its blackness. Because this is like a majority black film. You know, the Blade was the black character in the film. Damon Wayans, and I think Blank Man was in a... definitely Robert Townsend was in a... Meteor Man was in the black neighborhood. But this Black Panther is black all over black. Everywhere you look, it's a black guy in a power somewhere, and somebody with some blackness is putting something down. So the Black Panther, it's the first time in a very long time that we're seeing a film with centered black people, where we have a lot of agency, says Jermaine Broadnax, the founder of Black Girl Nerds, a pop culture site focused on sci-fi and comic book fandoms. These characters, she notes, are rulers of a kingdom, inventors and creators of advanced technology. We are not dealing with black pain and black suffering and black poverty, the usual topics of acclaimed movies about the experience. Now, it wasn't the main topic, but, you know, black pain and suffering and poverty was a motivation for Killmonger. That was Michael Jordan. I think that's his name. The antagonist, one of the antagonists. And his father before him, the Prince of Wakanda. They wanted to share the technology of Wakanda with black people who were suffering at the hand of white supremacy and oppression. Well, black celebrating fictitious characters in a fictitious film. Hollywood provides a defining moment for Black America. Someone recently said, you have to meet or deal with people where they are. And maybe this is where some or many of Black Americans are. I can see how the Black Panther film could be a morale booster, but a defining moment that's a little difficult for me to see. Pan-African nationalist Dr. Umar Johnson. I watched a YouTube video with him, and he said some very interesting things about the Black Panther movie. Some good and some very very interesting. I'm going to try to just go over some of the stuff that I got from what he was saying. And it's not quotes, but it's, I hope I got it close because I don't want to cause anybody any problems. So he said that the CIA used the movie as a political weapon of psychological destruction of black people. So for I thought that was very interesting. He said they did the CIA provides a entertainment industry liaison for Hollywood, an entertainment industry liaison, L-I-A-I-S-O-N for Hollywood. So I had to look that up because I didn't know what that was. Apparently, that's the true fact. There is an entertainment industry liaison from the CIA for Hollywood, which is, I thought that was interesting in itself. They said they have been in touch with the CIA to gain better understanding of our intelligence mission. Our goal is an accurate portrayal of the men and women of the CIA and the skill, innovation, daring, and commitment to public service that defines them. So that's the reason that they get for this. And they give them more authentic data on like things that happen at war and stuff like that. So I'm going to go ahead. They went on to say there was always a young lady in the video said there is always a political agenda. And I thought that was deep right there that, the CIA is involved with anything in Hollywood. So Mr. Umar also liked the images of black people in high powerful places as spiritual, intelligent, cultural beings existing side by side with technology and living with nature. I like that too. Then he began to dissect themes he perceived in the film. These are just a couple of things I got from the video. Alpha males were viewed as antagonists. T'Challa, that's the Black Panther, called him a beta male, said he was weaker because of some of the decisions he made. He disagreed with them trusting the CIA, took the CIA to the nexus of their technology after the CIA agent saved, T'Challa's sister from Killmonger, Michael Jordan's bullet, who's the antagonist. And actually, he's an American, the son of an African father, Prince of Wakanda, and an American female, black female. So he has a point right there, because for centuries you hide your technology, and this guy did save the life of T'Challa's sister, and she, asked him to take him back to save his life. I guess they had something there. I watched the movie, but I didn't watch all of the movie because I saw it in parts. So I might have missed some parts of the movie. Anyway, if I was going to save his life, he wouldn't have known where he went, and he wouldn't have saw nothing that we had, and I would have took him back, let him go back home. But these guys didn't do that because this guy worked for the CIA. So what is the CIA doing there anyway? They allow personal relationship with people to affect the political decisions of their people. All this time, they never share anything with the CIA. They've been hiding out for centuries. So why share it? Why expose the CIA agent to your technology? He said it represented historical symbolism of the CIA as being a white destabilizer of Africa. So that was interesting. He had mentioned a book to read, The Destruction of African Civilization, for anybody that's interested in that. He said T'Challa was not a pan-African nationalist. He only cared about his African nationalist. He was selfish in that way. Killmonger was a pan-African nationalist. He wanted to help all black people with Wakanda's resources. He was portrayed as an antagonist. That's a bad guy. T'Challa was not considered an antagonist. He was like a safe Negro. And some of this I'm saying, safe Negro, that's what I'm saying. That's a bad guy. Those are my words. And none of this is Umar's exact words, but, this is what I got from what he was saying. He said pan-African nationalism was on trial in the film. He said they allowed a white person or people to participate in or have an input in choosing their leaders to tell us or them what is good for them or not. The CIA agent Ross, in reference to Killmonger, he said, you don't want him here. The purpose is to divide. The purpose of the film is to divide African youth from American youth. Leave those trifling Negroes alone. Coming to Africa to dominate you. So if anybody here want to go to Africa to try to, he's saying this film is driving a wedge between us. Africa does not want you American blacks, driving another kind of a wedge. So I thought that was some really, really deep stuff that he saw in it. Because, man, if the Black Panther film is a CIA propaganda tool, that is more reason not to rely, depend, expect Hollywood or the entertainment business or propaganda tool of the CIA to create, identify, and perpetuate role models for black people. If you must, if you are strong enough, simply enjoy the action, special effects, and the acting. If the message is so subliminally destructive, no one should watch the Black Panther movie or any film used as a tool to subliminally influence you. Okay. This is from the History Channel in 2018. The real history behind the Black Panther Party. It says that Mr. Jack Kirby described why he created the character. I came up with the Black Panther because I realized I had no blacks in my script. I had a lot of blacks readers. My first friend was black. And here I was ignoring them because I was associating with everybody else. The Kirby, gave that some thought after some time. So over the years, observers have drawn real-world parallels between Wakanda and Ethiopia. I think Dr. Johnson was did a parallel between Wakanda and Lesotho, country in South Africa, which was never colonized. But Ethiopia, they say, was never officially colonized, but was occupied by Italy in the 1930s. The representation of blackness as more than a stereotypical and racist trope of inferiority. These guys were some black, strong brothers and sisters. The ways of that becomes important because in many ways, the emergence of the black superhero marks a racial transformation happening on a political and social level. So the only thing I'm saying about the movie, and I understand the strength of Wakanda, the power that people had, and the wealth, things like that, and the technology. But with all that, did not these black men and women fight and murder each other? We experience that in the hood all the time, all over the world. Africans are fighting and murdering one another. Africans and their descendants have a history of fighting and murdering one another. And I'm not saying that we all do it, but it's happening. We call it black-on-black crime. Disunity was prevalent in the film. The only difference is nobody in Wakanda was impoverished. Everybody was black. Martin Luther King, Medgar Evers, Malcolm X, Huey P. Newton, Fred Hampton, H.R.S. Brown, and Rosa Parks mark a racial transformation happening on a political and social level with Harriet Tubman and Nat Turner before them. That's just naming a few of them. If you want to look at some black heroes, some stand-up people, some people who are standing up for something. And I think most of them folks was broke. Every one of them, none of them had more than two quarters to rub together. So back to Behind the Black Panther by Ryan Mittimore. What's the significance of the nations of Wakanda? What would have happened to a society not affected by the devastating impact of racism and colonialism. The film is a beacon for the black imagination, what blackness could be in the future. So PT is saying, well, I wonder what could have happened if Africans would have united together against the European invaders and usurpers. Captivity, dissension, genocides, and trauma have not killed the imagination of black people. It appears to have diminished the black people's sense of connection and collective worth. Many of us have a vision, but faith without work is dead. No imaginary vision is going to erect black people out of our current nightmare. To continue with the real history behind the Black Panther by Ryan Matamor. Why do you think this film resonated so widely before it was even released? Why was it so anticipated? So much talk, so much enthusiasm. The ground swells of buzz and anticipation, particularly across black communities in the U.S. and the world, is not a function of millions of comic book readers that have followed the Black Panther in the various interactions you have in Marvel Comics. The film speaks to a broader pent-up demand and desire to see a science fiction version of blackness that is on par with a Star Wars. So I don't know exactly what that means, but if you look at Star Wars, I don't know how many black people was in Star Wars. It's like, I know we used to say, Dad, where the black people at? We in space or not? Are we in the future or not? That used to be a little joke. You know, we know it's Hollywood and it's not representing anything, but maybe that's somebody's idea that they projected on screen, and maybe it represents somebody's idea that, you know, we want to make sure there's very few black folks left over, because we did have Orlando, whatever his name was, Billy D. Williams. He was in there. Then he got the young brother. He was in there. And who knows, you know, who else was black in there underneath all that stuff. Anyway, as actors. But, you know, it was a big joke about there was no blacks in the future, because a lot of the future movies, you didn't see a lot of black people. So we've never seen this kind of visionary African black representation of super science. So that's our scientific of Star Wars movie. I don't know why we need to have that, unless people depend on Hollywood to project them into the future. And even so, it still doesn't get us projected into the future, because Hollywood, it's not real. Stay focused. You want to be in the future. What you do now will determine where you are in the future, if it's going to impact on that anyway. So they said it's a strong allegory of our contemporary moment, given the way in which racial tensions in America's society in particular have come to the forefront. So, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on, with some racial tension going on here. So we got the Black Lives Matter movement. They said the comments by the president about African nations and black football players taking a knee instead of standing up. So, you know, all that stuff. The movie Get Out, you know. So they asked another question. Do you think the film will retain the political aspects of the comic? They said the comic is more symbolic and allegorical. The film has more racial politics right in your face, right? Because Killmonger was bringing that to the forefront. And Killmonger's father, the prince, who got killed in the beginning by his brother, the king, he did try to strike the guy from behind, the king, the Black Panther, which, why? I don't know. That's in the script, though. It's Hollywood, and, you know, guys are writing these things. So, but his brother killed him. He was a Black Panther and before T'Challa. T'Challa's father killed his brother. So, real Panthers. The original Black Panthers fought in the 761st Tank Battalion during World War II. That's from the History Channel. And, of course, we have the Black Panther Party, which was formed in 1966, who united in self-defense against the brutality of the Oakland Police Department and the U.S. government towards blacks in Oakland and throughout the United States. Okay? Those real deaths. And understand that the brother Killmonger, Michael Jordan, is making a film about the original Black Panthers of the 761st Tank Battalion. I think it's a baseball player that was in there, in that battalion, but he never went because he wouldn't give his seat up. And I'm thinking that means he wouldn't give your seat up to a white guy. So I guess they put him in the brig or something. So he never got to go to Europe in the tank and fight, because these are the guys, the black guys, I don't know if y'all heard of them or not, that fought with General Patton, and he only used the best soldiers. So if you weren't good at what you did, you didn't get to be in Patton's tank army. So they played a big role in liberating people in Europe, brothers. So, and I'm not trying to shoot the movie down anything like that. I saw what I saw. It was a nice little movie. I liked it. I liked the fact that the brothers was in there as actors getting paid, right? And as actors had more positive roles. Even Killmonger's role, as even though they played him as an antagonist, I understood where he's coming from. You know, it seems like in the end, T'Challa kind of could see where he was coming from also. He even offers that guy to live, you know, but he didn't, he'd rather die than be a prisoner somewhere. And I think they got into a fight at the end. I'm telling a story, or maybe some people didn't see it. But anyway, that character was viewed as an antagonist. He was a trained killer for the CIA. And he was trained to destabilize countries and things like that. And he was a killer. They call him Killmonger. And I thought that was a strange name, you know, but, you know, like, again, you know, it's appropriate for, I guess, anybody that's trained and does murder a lot of people. So, and I guess he hangs with other killers, so he's a killmonger. So they kill and they do their thing. So, but he had a noble, you know, intention in terms of using the resources of Wakanda to help other brothers who were, you know, being just, you know, kicked in the butt all over the world. And maybe that's the political, social, political message that the movie is trying to, you know, say, that, you know, hey, we need to use our resources together. Don't hoard your resources. Help your brother. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's trying to say unite. You know? So, after viewing the movie, this is some provocative thought. The Black Panther, it was an entertaining movie with extraordinary special effects. Marvel did an excellent job as usual. It was good to see a strong black superhero from a strong black country. But it is by far no frame of reference outside of the imaginary world of the Marvel comic strip, black writers, socio-political plots or not. People, black people, cannot or should not rely, depend, perceive, or hope that Hollywood or the entertainment business would assume the responsibility of portraying positive role models for black people. It implies that black people capable of producing, identifying, perpetuating positive role models and are dependent upon the descendants of their captors to exalt or empower the black man fictitiously. The black man is captured or addicted to the magical lure of Hollywood's projection of fantasy power like an addict to crack. Not only do black people lack their ambition to produce these role models, but they lack the vision to even perpetuate their own fictitious role model. And there are some black comic strips out here. The Black Panther is a fictitious character created in 1966 by Marvel Comics Caucasian writer, editor Stan Lee and writer-artist Jack Kirby. Implies that black people are so incapable of producing, identifying, perpetuating positive role models that white men had to create a personalities that possess such worthy characteristics. Now, we got a lot of black millionaires, guys got a lot of money. You know, we got, I mean, come on now. The Black Panther is nice. I like that character. I like that movie, and I hope they continue making them. But can we get some brothers creating something for brothers? That would make it, you know, all black. And it's had, that's not a strike against Marvel or anything like that, because we appreciate that, Jack Kirby and Stan Lee. You guys even perpetuating the character. But just speaking to, you know, the brothers, if y'all think that's that important, how about create your own character? Make a film. You know, perpetuate your ideas in your film. And I guess it's Mrs. Johnson said, hope that it's not corrupted by anybody from the CIA. They do that. I don't even know if that's true or not. I guess they had two, maybe three agents from the CIA in that movie. So I guess the CIA, the entertainment industry liaison might have been in touch with the producers of the Black Panther 2 based on the fact that they did have a CIA element in the movie. But, you know, it also implies that black people or black sovereignty would need superpowers to be recognized by black people, not to mention be extremely wealthy. I mean, because Wakanda was out of this world super. I mean, how would you feel about a guy that was the king of a tribe in Africa? You know, a small area. He ruled fairly amongst his subjects. How would you feel about that guy? Or would we have to be, you know, somebody who could just, you know, because we feel powerless, we need images of black people being super powerful to make us feel good, you know. And I mean, if that works for you, it doesn't work for me to see films with super black people in it, because to me it's just a movie. You know, I just like to see the fact that it's a good movie and it's a brother in there, you know, he's working. You know, so I like to see Denzel when he's working, whether he's a super character or not. But I like Al Pacino too. You know what I'm saying? I ain't mad when I say Al Pacino movie. You know, so I'm good. There was no hope but the hope black people experience for fictitious characters or characters. So we have to have hope. And our hope, in my opinion, should be a real hope. And not a Hollywood hope. But this film, as I said in the beginning, probably could work as an inspiration to people. But hope has to be reality-based. Your vision has to be reality-based. So if you need a film, as someone said to me, if that's what sparks you, sets that spark off in your head, go for it in the real world, right? Because it kind of implies that black power is now a fictitious concept portrayed in a fairy tale and Hollywood or entertainment. Black people are so starved for a hero that we are willing to be spoon-fed a fictitious one to fulfill our desires. Fact is, black people have real-life heroes and role models in our fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, and ancestors. In my ignorance, provocative thought may have missed the hidden meaning, power of the movie The Black Panther. Themes like unity, brothers that have should help those who have not. With great power comes great responsibility. I think they said that in a Spider-Man movie. I am my brother's. That's the oldest. I don't know how old that is. Africans possess all that is necessary for black people to survive and the world to survive. Similarities to the real world situations. Africa's resources can sustain the world. For all the power, technological advancement, and ethics, the brothers still manage to kill one another. Like, we can't get it together. Like, what's up with us? There was dissension amongst the tribe. The dissension was observed from the kingship down through the subjects of Wakanda. People that broke bread together. I've seen that in a neighborhood. The guys that broke bread together started going against each other. And let's just say some people died. Why can't we just get along? Maybe it will take a war between us to bring us together. You know, because Wakanda had a war, and then after the war, they came together. I'm assuming that, but who knows what's in the next arm, who's still holding on to something. They did not help other brothers and sisters on the planet. We have some brothers that help out, but there's no major, you know, to other. You know, we need to, you know, just really, it needs to be something that we, you know, like top of the list. You know, you get up, you got to feed yourself, you got to take care of yourself, and you help your brother. And I'm not talking about just in America, I mean all over. The rich Wakanda did not help the poor African Americans or poor Africans. Some individuals did, like the sister, T'Challa's girlfriend with love interest. She was out there doing her own thing. You know, I think the Black Panther was doing something too, because I know he's on a dot of a spaceship on to some guys. And the same man into this girl. Some reach back, but not far enough. So we need to do more for our people. The CIA's involvement, I must say, I never saw that coming. But the involvement is not unbelievable. So, for my listeners, anybody, how do you feel about the Black Panther movie? Were you anticipating as a movie, you know, the Black Panther, this comic book character that you like? I know some people probably never heard of that guy. Because they even read comic books now. I know about him because I'm old enough to know about the Black Panther. And I knew with the black guy. And, you know, I like those two things, the Black Panther and the black guy, you know, strong comic book hero. A black guy, I like that. So, you know, just that alone makes me interested in it. And I wanted to see how Marvel, you know, made the character. Because I didn't know what his strengths were. Because I never really read the Black Panther comic book, per se. You know what I'm saying? So, but this guy seemed very, very strong and very efficient. So I like that about him. So I learned a lot about the comic book character, the Black Panther. The guy in the suit. And T'Challa. So T'Challa need to get a little stronger, even though the way he was okay. But he need to be more. He need to maintain that century-old concept of hiding what Wakanda has from certain people, because he, you know, can't trust everybody. The CIA on your you know, right in the nexus of your technology, I don't know if that's a good idea. You know, I'm American, but I, you know, if I was an African with some technology, I wouldn't let the CIA know I had it. Read on with Mr. Johnson. You know, and I agree that they, you know, the brothers were in positions of power, which psychologically has an impact on us. Maybe that's a subliminal impact it has on us also, a conscious or a subconscious impact that we keep seeing bad stuff about us. So we're bad. And I just think if you're a young kid, you see that on all the video games, the movies, then you go outside to play, you see real people acting out that way. So you might take it that that's the way that you are, even though there might be some good positive role models in your community, because there's always some positive role models in the black community, you know, but sometimes we overlook them because we our perception of how they're behaving. We have a negative perception of something that's positive in terms of, you know, a guy that's not being aggressive, being respectful, and not looking for trouble and things. I'm not ready to pull out a gun and shoot nobody. Nobody's afraid of him. He's not presenting himself in a way that you need to be fearful of him. So, you know, sometimes we look at him like, oh, you know, somebody might say he's a sucker, or, you know, he's a chump, or, you know, but he's not a chump. He's a guy that's trying to live life while some of us choose behaviors that places at risk and say that, you know, that's cool, and you think that that's all right, that's tough, you're tough, you know, you street and all that. You really don't want to be street. Street is, if you're forced to be on the street, that's one thing. Find another way, because peace is the best way to live. With war, that's the only way to die. That's what war means. That's what it means when you have war. You have people who are killing one another. So you want to be a peaceful person. That's a person you should hold high esteem for. And you should respect everybody, but you should have the highest esteem for the man that wants to live in peace. And that's everybody. You know, that should be everybody. Everybody should want to live in peace. Peace means not oppressing other people, just so you know. I don't mean peace not fighting. I mean peace not oppressing other people, not harming other people to your advantage. That's not peace. You know, people just sucking up to you while you, you know, put your foot on their neck. That's not living in peace. So I think that people, you know, should enjoy the movie, the social political plots, the blackness, and if you're empowered by it to do something about it, let it move you. But remember, it is a movie from one of the most magically deceptive, creative, exploitative, manipulative forces in the world, the Hollywood entertainment business. Just remember that, you know. But if it can set you off in the right direction, and you and there's nothing else subliminally happening, you know, in the film, and you know, I hope that Mr. Johnson is you know, not right about that with the movie, even though he sounds like he knows what he's talking about, because I never heard of the entertainment industry liaison to Hollywood, and I can't imagine why the CIA would need to direct anybody, because it's fantasy. You can have a CIA agent doing whatever you want them to do. Who cares if it's close to real life or not? You don't know. We don't know. So that's interesting that they have they're even saying that they have a marketing or social you know, relationship advisor to Hollywood. Pants a movie, liked it. I give it two thumbs up. I think there's another movie out there, but I think that's the Avengers, where Wakanda looked like they're being attacked by, I think it's by an alien. He predicted that the next movie, because they took the CIA agent to the nexus of their technology, that the next Wakanda movie should be them being invaded by some European nation. I'm assuming it's your United agents of the United States, or peoples of Africa supported by agents of the United States, based on his theory. Anyway, I think it's a good movie in terms of movies and in terms of the Marvel movie thing. Black Panther, you know, when I first saw him, I liked him. And I'd like to see what else he can do. I can't wait for the next Black Panther movie to come out. You know, I'm going to check out this other one, where they are all Thor and everybody's fighting together. But I think they're fighting near this hidden place. I don't understand how the hidden place, anybody know where it is? They're coming near the rumble now. I don't understand that. But I guess I gotta see that to see how they even went down. So that's some alien stuff. So maybe dude coming to get his vibranium. I don't know. But I enjoyed the movie. So what do you guys think? Anybody wanna comment before we close for the night? We have about 3 minutes. 3-4 minutes. What did you think about the Black Panther movie? Was it good? Was it just entertainment? What do you think? Hello, caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought. Hello?
Yes. Yes, hello.
How you doing? Yes, how you doing?
Yeah, I saw the Black Panther movie twice, maybe three times. That's unusual for me. Normally, I see
right.
a movie one time, and then I wait till it comes on TV. But it was so rich and so powerful, so colorful, in a positive way.
Right.
I remember Black Panther in the comic books, but I don't think if I bought it, I might have bought it once back in the day. You know, it's not something I invest, you know, my money in, which I had in comic books in general. But it basically was a story of good and evil. I've narrowed
right.
down to good guy and a bad guy. I like the fact of the unity. They didn't have a lot of profanity in it, or if not at all. Plenty of action-packed, but the scenery of the country makes you want to believe that it does exist. And some people did think it existed, but it don't. It was big pretend, the country that he came from, whatnot. It shows life. You have your ups and your downs, and when your enemy think you're knocked out, you rise up again, which is what he did. They
right.
thought he was dead when that last battle, but he rose up again and fought his brother. And had a lot of storylines within the story. Very positive, very colorful,
right.
with great action. Beautiful people, beautiful good-looking African-American men and women, and the whites, a few whites is in it, whatnot. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and each time I saw it, I saw aspects of the movie that I didn't see before, because your brain can only take in so much imagery at one time. The movie like that, you got to see it. And I plan to buy it down the road. You know, you can buy those movies and put it in your file in your
right.
in your cable system. So I'm planning to buy that for historical purposes. But I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome.
And thank you. And that's it for tonight, folks. I want to thank everybody for calling in, listening. I want to thank Free Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I want to thank Joe.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
And again, all listeners and callers.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in 4 parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.